We're turning again to the portion read earlier in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Our text this morning is taken from the familiar words of verse 20. I'm sure many here this morning can recall their childhood days, growing up in the Free Presbyterian Church, going to Sunday school, children's meetings, and so on. Many of you have committed these words to memory long, long ago. No doubt there are children here this morning, and you know these words well. We trust that God will speak to every heart and deal with every soul as we come to meditate upon the word of the Lord. Our text is Revelation 3 and the verse 20, where the Lord Jesus Christ, addressing the church in Laodicea, says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Let's all bow together as we seek the Lord's help as we come to the preaching of his word. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we confess before thee today the coldness of our own hearts. We need the Lord to come. To come into our midst today, to come in afresh, to visit us again. And we pray that thou would warm our hearts in thy house today as we meet at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy word. Speak to every heart, deal with every soul. Remember any out of Christ without a Savior. We pray today that thou would grant to them a new heart, a heart to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything, more than anyone, to love the Lord as their own and personal Savior. And Lord, for those whose hearts have grown cold and careless, we pray for a little reviving. Lord, come and visit us in mercy today. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for Christ's sake. Amen. If God spares us to live into our 90s, we might think that we would be entitled to take things easy, as it were, in respect to the work of God. Such was not the will of God for his beloved disciple, the Apostle John, the penman of the book of the Revelation. Some reckon Jesus Christ called John to be a disciple while he was a very young man indeed. Indeed, many would suggest that John was merely a teenager when the Lord called him into Christian service. Some reckon he may have been as young as 15 or perhaps 16 years of age. But now commentators estimate when John penned the words of our text, he was well into his 90s. For decades, he had faithfully served the Lord Jesus Christ. We find now that John was suffering great persecution because of his testimony, because of his unfailing, because of his unceasing witness for the Lord. Far from stepping back from God's work and taking things easy in the ministry, John was about to enter upon perhaps the most difficult, yet possibly the most blessed and useful period of his life's work and ministry. There is certainly no sign here, no indication that John was cooling off in respect to his life and service for Christ. There is certainly no hint of the dreadful sin of lukewarmness creeping into John's heart or soul. As an old man, John was still on fire for God. John was still blazing a trail, even here on the Isle of Patmos, for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the furtherance of the gospel. And throughout the centuries, right up until this present day, the Church of Jesus Christ has enjoyed untold blessing as a result of John's passionate zeal, even as an old man, in the work and in the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my heart must have broken John's heart when Christ revealed to him the spiritual condition of the church in Laodicea. When Christ said of the Laodicean church in Revelation 3, verse 16, "Because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." I'm sure John's heart trembled for the congregation in Laodicea. I'm sure John's heart trembled for the work of God in this portion of the Lord's vineyard. The Lord is conveying the message that he was sick of the spiritual apathy. He was sick of the spiritual condition of the professing church here in Laodicea. And I'm sure your heart would tremble this morning. I'm sure you would find it very disturbing today if God sent me with a message to Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church that God is sickened by the spiritual apathy of the Lord's people here. I would imagine horror would grip your heart and fill your soul if I were to tell you today, God has sent me to tell you that Jesus Christ is sick of his people here, sick of their spiritual condition, about to spew them, as it were, out of his holy mouth. It is to this sickening picture of Christians shutting the Lord Jesus Christ out of their hearts, this sickening picture of believers shutting the Lord Jesus Christ out of their lives, that I want to focus your attention upon here this morning. Now notice with me, in the first place, our text contains a sobering rebuke. Christ rebuked the Laodiceans for shutting him out of their hearts, for shutting them out of their lives. The symbolism in our text is most disturbing indeed. These professing Christians in Laodicea had shut Christ out. They were going about their business as usual, it would seem, but they were going about their business in a casual fashion, in an apathetic manner, showing great indifference to the Lord Jesus Christ. The picture here is of Christ standing at the door, knocking and knocking and knocking, calling and calling and calling, seeking admittance. We hear the Lord crying out, "If there is any man, is there anyone there? Anyone to open the door and let me in?" And yet, sadly, we discover the constant knocking and the constant calling of the Lord fell upon deaf ears. The church went on its merry way content, ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ as if he were not even there, leaving Christ outside the door. Evidently, love for Christ no longer filled their hearts and filled their souls. Other things, other people had taken the place of the Lord. Christ had been pushed to the side. Indeed, Christ had been pushed right outside. And men and women, that is nothing less than idolatry. There are professing Christians such as these folk in Laodicea, and they are guilty of idolatry. Christ was no longer the great love of their lives. They no longer loved the Lord Jesus Christ as they did when first they met him. We often sing the words of the hymn, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word?" They had lost sight of Christ. Their love for the Lord was not what it once was. It was not what it should have been. They didn't love Him more than anything. They didn't love Him more than anyone. And we need to understand that is idolatry. No matter what it is in your life, no matter who it is in your life that has taken the place of Jesus Christ, that thing or that person has now become your idol. And sad to say, like the professing Christians here in Laodicea, there are professing Christians in the Free Presbyterian Church today, and they are guilty of idolatry. There is something or there is someone in their lives, in their hearts, and that something or that someone has taken the place of the Savior. Here was a church that was probably the envy of Christians throughout Asia, physically, materially, financially, numerically, outwardly, externally. The church in Laodicea had it all, or so they said, so they boasted. Perhaps at the annual general meeting, or maybe at the examination of presbytery, they would have said, we have need of nothing. We have it all. Verse 17, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Other congregations, ministers, elders, committee men, members were drooling. Drooling at the glowing report. My, if only God would give us what these people in Laodicea have. They've no financial difficulties. There's no problem with numbers, with personnel. There is plenty of help in the church for the children's work, the youth ministry, the outreach, going around the doors. Here is a church, and it seems to have everything that they needed. And they certainly felt they had everything they needed themselves. And they gave this seemingly glowing report. But when we read this chapter, we discover that the Lord Jesus Christ saw things very, very differently. He saw into the heart. Even the heart that He had been shut out from. He saw into the soul of the work here. In verse 17, thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That was the reality, the spiritual reality. Spiritually, the church was in a dreadful state of declension, backslidden, far from God, shutting Christ out, going on with the services, with the various aspects of the ministry, but doing so in a manner that Christ describes here as lukewarm. Going through the motions, but without the burning, passionate love for Christ. Going through the motions, but without that burning Christ-like love for the souls of men and women and for the church. Doing the work merely out of a sense of duty or routine in the strength of the flesh. They were guilty not only of idolatry, but of indifference. Lukewarmness suggests the membership here in Laodicea had succumbed to a careless, half-hearted, indifferent, take-it-or-leave-it kind of attitude towards Christ. Towards Christ's work. Towards Christ and the prayer meeting. Toward Christ and the preaching of the gospel. Toward Christ and the worship of God. Toward Christ and the work of the ministry. Oh, they were doing all the necessary duties, but they had lost their heart for Christ. But while Christ is grieved, and while He certainly brings this sobering rebuke, we need to understand He does so with love. You know, sometimes preachers, when they see coldness and carelessness in the congregation, They would come down on the heads of God's people like a ton of bricks. Without mercy. Sometimes preachers can become frustrated and angry with the saints of God, and at times bitterness would creep in. But that is not how the Lord is speaking to the folk here in Laodicea. While the hearts of God's people had grown sinfully cold and careless and backslidden in a state of spiritual declension, the Lord's heart was perfect toward them. They had put other things in the place of Jesus Christ. Riches, material wealth, even their own physical health and well-being. They were obsessed with those things. But when the Lord Jesus Christ brings this sobering rebuke, he does so with a heart full of love and mercy and compassion. Look at what he says in verse 19. As many as I love, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Christ was not pounding on the door in an uncontrollable rage, out of a sense of frustration or in bitterness of heart, having lost his temper with God's people. That's not the picture that is being painted here or portrayed here in our text. Christ was knocking, Christ was calling with a heart full and overflowing with love. If you can see the hand that is pounding upon the door, look closely at that hand this morning in our text. And you will see it as a nail-scarred hand. A hand that bears the mark of our Savior's suffering. A hand that bears the scars of Calvary. As you listen to the pounding upon the door and you see the mark of the nail, the print of the nail, we are reminded of the pounding of the hammer upon the cross as they nailed our Savior to the tree. He is pounding upon the heart's door with a hand of love and mercy, with a heart full of grace and compassion. If you look there in Revelation 1, look at verse 4 and verse 5, here addressing the seven churches, including the Laodicean church, John writes of him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And this is the same Christ. This is the same Jesus. This is the very same person who is pounding and pounding and pounding upon the door of the heart. The heart of the church. Seeking an entrance into the lives and fellowship of God's people. There was nothing half-hearted about Christ. There was nothing half-hearted or lukewarm about his heart or his soul or his love for the Laodiceans. He loved them passionately. He had gone to Calvary. He had shed his blood to wash away their sin. Why? That he might be in their lives, that they might enjoy communion and fellowship with him, that they might be reconciled to him by his own blood. But they had shut him out. And I wonder, is that true of someone in the congregation this morning? Well, God has sent me to Lisburn with this message that he is standing patiently in love, yearning to fellowship and commune with you. And that brings us here to our second consideration. We've noticed there the sobering rebuke, but notice here very quickly the solemn request. the symbolic language of our text, the picture of Christ standing, knocking, calling outside the door, conveys the Savior's desire for fellowship and communion with those people he has died for, with those people for whom he shed his atoning blood. Christ here expresses in this very symbolic language the desire of his heart for intimate, passionate communion with you and with me. That is why he died. That is why God, the eternal Son, took to himself our nature, became bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, lived a perfect life, died an atoning death, to reconcile us to God, that God would enjoy our company, hard as that may be to take in, to fathom, to really understand or grasp. God, the eternal God, so desired you, so desired me. He sent forth the darling of his bosom to suffer, to shed his blood, to die, to take away our sin, to take away all that is between you and God, all that is between me and God, that we might enjoy sweet fellowship, communion together forever and forever and forever. The picture is of one who loves us infinitely more than any other could ever love us, desiring wholehearted fellowship, intimate communion with his church. One who would go to any lengths, go to any pains, yea, go to hell upon the cross and suffer the wrath of God, that we might have fellowship with him. But we shut him out. We're too busy with our education. We're too busy with our business, our career. We're too busy making money. We're too busy with our hobbies, too busy with our sporting activities. Too busy with the family, too busy with that, too busy with this, too busy with the other thing, too busy with our idols. To have time for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is at the door knocking this morning because he wants, as he tells us here, to sup with his people. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Sup, of course, means to dine. Sadly, in our day and age, in our hectic, cluttered lifestyles, we have lost something of the significance of dining with our loved ones. It means more than merely eating physical food to fuel the physical body. It indicates, it implies here, a time of intimate fellowship with our loved ones, with our nearest and our dearest. That's the idea that is being conveyed in our text, in this case, feeding the soul. Feeding the soul upon Christ himself. As we sup with him, as we dine with him and upon him, communing with him in his presence. Remember what the Lord said there in John chapter 6. We are to eat his flesh. We are to drink his blood. Now, of course, he emphasizes that his words there are to be understood spiritually. We do not literally, physically eat the flesh, the bones, the sinews, or drink the physical blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be blasphemy to think that way or to interpret or expound John 6 in such a manner. But we are to really and truly eat the flesh of Christ and drink his blood spiritually. By faith we are to feed upon Christ and him crucified. We are to come by faith to the cross. We are to meditate upon the sufferings, the sacrifice, the shedding of the Savior's blood. And that is what the Lord means when he says that in John 6, verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, listen, dwelleth in me. Dwelleth in me, and I in him. In other words, we sup together spiritually with Christ. We feed our souls upon Christ crucified as we meet with him prayerfully around his word. Because understand, not only the revelation of Christ, the book of the Bible with that title, but the entire word of God from Genesis to Revelation, it is the revelation of Christ, the Lamb of God, his suffering, his bloodshedding, his life, his death. And as we read the Bible in private, as we read the scriptures here in public, as we gather together to feed upon the preaching of God's word, we are feeding truly upon Christ. Remember those lukewarm disciples as they trudged along the road to Emmaus. Downcast, discouraged. And the Lord drew near and they didn't even recognize the risen Christ. And the Lord began to open the scriptures, to open his word, and expound the truths of the gospel from Genesis, from the book of beginnings, from the books of Moses, and through the prophets and the Psalms, throughout the Old Testament scriptures, Christ opened his word. He expounded the gospel, the message of his suffering and of his glory. And as Christ spoke about his death, his agony and blood, the disciples were able to testify in Luke 24, verse 32. They said one to another, did not our heart burn? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Men and women, there is the remedy for lukewarm hearts. We need to open our Bibles at the feet of Christ. We need to open our Bibles at home in the secret place with God. And we need to be in a place of worship such as this with an open Bible where the scriptures are expounded, where Christ crucified is preached. And as Christ walked alongside those disciples and expounded his word, they were eating his flesh, they were drinking his blood spiritually, they were feeding upon Christ crucified, and their hearts began to burn. Child of God, when did your heart last burn for Christ? I wonder, are there men and women, young professing Christians here in this congregation this morning? And you have to confess your heart is lukewarm today. Oh, you're going through the motions. Perhaps you're routinely reading your Bible at home. You'd never miss the Sunday morning worship or the prayer meeting night. But you have to confess your heart is lukewarm. You've fallen into spiritual declension. You're far from God. You've shut Christ out. And you need the Lord to come into your life again with power. You need to get before God's face with the open Bible. In prayer. We have considered the sobering rebuke. Our time is gone this morning. We've hardly time to mention this, but we've looked at the sobering rebuke the solemn request, but let me just mention in closing the serious response. The knocking of Christ at the door of our hearts calls for a most serious response. Are you going to take this seriously this morning? Or is this just another episode of going through the motions with a lukewarm heart? And you're going to get out of your seat very soon, walk out those doors, untouched, unmoved, unchanged. Are you going to say to the Lord, I refuse to leave my seat today until you cause my heart to burn? The knocking of Christ at the door of our hearts calls for a most serious response. Look at our text, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Are you going to open the door? That's the response that Christ is calling for in this service today. Will you repent from your lukewarmness? Will you commune with Christ again in prayer around the Scriptures? The Savior cries, if any man. It means anyone. Is there anyone there? Is there even one man in Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church? Is there even one woman? Is there one young person? Is there one boy or girl? And you'll take my knocking, you'll take my calling seriously this morning. Is there even one who will open their heart to let the Savior in, to love him more than you love anyone, more than you love anything? Is there even one who will open the door and sup with Christ and allow Christ to sup with them? Let's bow together for prayer. Our time is gone this morning. We're not going to sing a closing hymn. I wonder, is there a backslider here today? The Lord is speaking to your heart. You know in your soul, this message has been a message from God for you. It's time to get right with the Lord. It's time to open the door, to open your Bible, to meet with Christ, to commune with him, to feed upon him, that your heart would burn for him. Burn with a passionate zeal. Burn with a passionate love. Perhaps you need further counsel or help. Dr. Douglas is here. There are elders here. There are Sunday school teachers here. I will be here. I wonder, is there a man, a woman, a young person, and you're not even saved? And yet the Holy Ghost has applied these words to your heart. You've shut Christ out. You've sat in meetings like this for years. You've rejected the advancement of Christ. You've hardened your heart. You've hardened your neck. Be very, very careful. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. My spirit shall not always strive with man. For the Lord is patient with his people. His mercy endureth forever towards his people. But if you're not saved, the day of grace will come to an end. The door of opportunity will close forever. He that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. If you're concerned about your soul, speak to me or some brother or sister here. But be sure to get right with God. Be sure to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, washed whiter than the snow, before you leave God's house this morning. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we do give thee thanks for thy word. We thank thee for the open Bible. We thank thee for the patience, the mercy, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do pray that thou would forgive us for our indifference, our apathy, our lukewarmness. We do pray for a little reviving. We pray that Christ will come in and sup with us, that we will feed upon Christ crucified, that we will eat thy flesh and drink thy blood and grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, that we might have the experience of those men on the road to Emmaus. O God in mercy, cause our hearts to burn within us again. Now, Lord, part us in thy fear, and with thy blessing abiding upon each and every one who knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen.